The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
Sirius XM Channel 80. What's up, nerds? It's not AD's fault. Let me just start out by saying that. That was not AD's fault. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. The Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance.
The defending champs, the Lakers, are eliminated in six games.
You know, we were stressing since we won the last game that, you know, we wanted to end the year on their home court.
Give my hats off to everyone on this team who showed up every day to work and obviously fell short of our goal.
Look, AD was not in any condition to play last night. He was not in any condition to play. That was obvious before he even took the court. Just walking out, his gait was severely affected. And I didn't understand the decision to play him. Because I'm thinking as I'm watching him walk, so let's say the Lakers win this game somehow. He wouldn't be able to go for game seven. A hamstring or a groin is the kind of injury. It's a micro tear in the muscle. It's the kind of injury that only gets worse if you don't rest it. It's not like you're going to play through it. No, it's just going to get worse and worse. And I'm thinking, wait, this is as good as he's going to be in the next two games right now? Every moment after this will be worse than this? What's he doing out on the floor? Now think about if he didn't play. Then he doesn't have to get ready to play that day, more rest. Then he doesn't have to play the next day. And then the day after that, finally, maybe he could come out and help you in a game seven if you get through a game six. Well, Max, without AD in game six, there wouldn't be a game seven. I'm not so sure. I'm not so sure about that. Actually, you know what I saw? I saw a Lakers team that was discombobulated by the fact that AD was out there. And by the way, CP3 was hunting him. Chris Paul saw AD. They ran every offensive play toward AD because he couldn't move. So the Lakers' defense is Swiss cheese, and AD can't do anything on offense. And it took the Lakers the entire rest of the half to come out of that. Now, that would be as opposed to like coming into the game realizing you're not going to have AD. Okay, what lineups are we going to go to? All that kind of stuff. Maybe you're not down almost 30 at the half or whatever it was. Because, by the way, when they adjusted to not playing with AD, they cut it to single digits at one point. With LeBron on a bad ankle, they cut it to single digits. No, it's not AD's fault for limping out there and trying to give it a go. You know whose fault it is? It's our fault. All of the rest of us. Not AD, the rest of us. Now, who do I mean by the rest of us? Let me start with me. I tweet about him, and I send out the GIF, or is it a GIF? A GIF or a GIF? Or is it a theme or a meme or something? I don't know what. It's something. But the point is, it's Sam Jackson from Unbreakable. They called me Mr. Glass, so I'm calling him Mr. Glass. Charles Barkley's calling him Street Clothes. Stephen A. is on First Take talking about, don't let me hear about you need to get it cleared from the medical profession. You have to decide to all that pressure on AD. And he goes out there, and we shot ourselves in the foot, Lakers fans. First, it's time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. So the Suns advanced, beating the Lakers, 113-100 at the end of that series. Game six, first-round series, they lose. Devin Booker, what I say going into this series, little mini Mamba, 47 points, 11 boards, 8 3-pointers. The Suns led by as many as 29 in the first half. They picked apart the L.A. defense, which was number one in the NBA in efficiency prior to the playoffs because they had Anthony Davis. By the way, LeBron James on a bad ankle got that to single digits with a supporting cast that was not worth their, you know, what's the expression? I don't know. Salt? Weight? They're not worth their weight in salt, let alone gold. Listen, this Lakers supporting cast was not good. And you could see where Talen Horton Tucker will eventually be a guy that the Lakers can have success with, but that day is not today. And it wasn't last night, not yet. And by the way, when players age like LeBron, the fact is they're more prone to injury. So I get it. Well, this is what you get with an older player. That's true. But if you take, well, you can't take away the ankle injury because he's older now. Okay, I get it. But it's not like his overall explosiveness or strength or reflexes had diminished from what I saw last night. It was just the ankle. So if his ankle had happened not to be hurt, he'd have been fine. Even if he's no longer the best player in the game by this time next year, as long as he's not actually hurt at the time of the playoffs, he's going to be fine. And don't forget, he in the bubble, they went to the finals and won the finals. Again, LeBron every year has all this extra basketball to play. And then there was an abbreviated offseason. And AD, yep, he's injury prone. It could very well be that some years he's just hurt in playoff time and the Lakers are screwed. But there are some years where he's not hurt in playoff time. And Lakers can, I don't know, win a championship. He's been there 2 years. The first year he's healthy, they won the championship. The next team, the year he's hurt, and they didn't. But you know what, Lakers fans? You know what really galls me about this whole thing, and I get a little bit emotional talking about this? I stop and think. There are eight-month-olds, who've never seen the Lakers win a championship. 8 months-olds, Raj. I can't even think about it. Think about that. 8 months old, and all you hear are the stories of what used to be. It's an outrage. An outrage. While it's true, a couple could have decided to have a child the last time the Lakers won a championship, maybe in celebration of that championship. And the child still would not have been born between then and now. That is true. But there are some premature babies who do very well. You know, they come a few weeks early, and those babies were born into a world, Raj, where the Lakers hadn't won a championship. Some 2 and 3 week olds. It's very sad. It's very sad what's happening.
Milk is never going to taste the same.
Hey, Frank Vogel, what the hell happened to AD?
We knew it was going to be difficult for him to be able to move. You know, he did everything he could from a treatment standpoint to loosen it up. You know, was hoping that, you know, some in-game adrenaline would also help with it. But, you know, certainly wasn't moving well at all to start the game. And then went down, grabbing it at that one point early in the first.
Think of how foolish this was. Let's say the Lakers would have pulled out the game. AD would not have been able to play Game 7. So let me get this straight. Since you needed to win Game 6 and 7 to advance, you would rather, and AD is going to play, let's say, in one of those two games, because you know, given the way he was moving in Game 6, he'd have been out for Game 7 because he's going to exacerbate it. So let me get this straight. You would rather have a lesser version of AD in Game 6, and even if you win it, not have him for Game 7, and even if you could win that in the next series, he's compromised, rather than a better version of AD in Game 7. Who's more likely to fully recover for the next series? It didn't make any sense. That was Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise.
It was like a game 7 because nobody's trying to see Damian Lillard, one of the clutchest players ever, like game 7.
Where we are now isn't good enough. I don't know what the shakeup looks like. But obviously, as is, it wasn't good enough.
The truth of the matter is, and Damian Lillard may want out of Portland now. The Nuggets closed out the Blazers in 6. 126-115. By the way, Jokic was the best player in this series. He's better than Jokic is better than Damian Lillard. That's not controversial or hard to tell. And Damian Lillard's great. He's great. Jokic is a better player. Well, that's because he's a foot taller. Yeah, duh. The sport selects out for height because the basket's up in the air. He's just a better offensive tackle because he's bigger than the other guy. Yeah, duh. That's that position, that sport, NFL selects out for size. Right, yeah, but that counts, guys. There's no pound for pound. There's no weight divisions in basketball, inch for inch. No. Jokic is better than Lillard. He's the best player in the series, and his team won. Who's better than Jokic in the Western Conference from here on out? Luka Doncic? Maybe. Jokic is a good chance. You know, he's just the best player in every series he plays in until they get to the finals. And that's my point. They have a chance to get there. But Damian Lillard, everyone's talking about where he needs to go to win a championship. Damian Lillard, if the other team is healthy, now if a team gets hurt, that's fine, but is not good enough to be the best player on a championship team. By the way, just so people understand this, neither is Steph Curry. Steph Curry has only ever been the best player on a championship team because the other team was hurt. The first 2015 Warriors, Cavs, Kyrie Irving and Kevin Love was hurt, so the Warriors won. They surely would have lost had those guys been healthy. And you know why? Because Steph is the best player on that team. They're not good enough to be the best player on a championship team if the other team's healthy. 2016, they lost. 17, KD was the best player on the team twice, and then they lost to Toronto. And then when KD and then Clay got hurt. And if Steph's not good enough, neither is Lillard. So Lillard needs to, you need to pair Lillard with a guy just as good as him, at least, to win a championship. There aren't that many guys like that. You know how good Lillard is? You know how great he is? There just aren't that many guys like that. And I don't think it'll happen in Portland. You got to figure out who to pair him with. Like, if you're Damian Lillard, you got to survey the landscape and think, who can I play with that gives us a chance, really, to win a championship? By the way, Michael Porter Jr., good Lord. This is what he had to say at the post-game press conference.
Going into this game, it was like a game seven because nobody's trying to see Damian Lillard, one of the clutchest players ever, like game seven. We knew like we had to come out here and be the aggressors. We didn't want to go to a game seven. We wanted to finish it tonight.
And certainly Michael Porter Jr. played that way, especially in the first quarter. 22 points in the first quarter. He couldn't miss. And I hear him about Damian Lillard. Damian Lillard's incredibly clutch. It's just that, you know, they're better players because of his, he's not a great defender because he's small. And he does everything else, but, you know, that's how it is. It's gangster in the NBA. Is Damian Lillard a top five player? No, clearly he's not. Top 10 sometimes. LeBron spends most of his career as the best player in the world. AD is a top half dozen player. That's what it takes. Let's hit the Goodyear hotline. Mike Trudell, Lakers sideline reporter. Mike, it was starting AD was a disaster last night. Not only did I not understand the logic, because watching him move, it was clear he would be unavailable for Game 7 and maybe compromised for the following series if they somehow could win, but it discombobulated the Lakers. They fell down by almost 30 points. And then you saw in the second half, LeBron, on a bad ankle, was able to cut it to single digits. Maybe if they don't start AD, they have a chance to win. What the hell happened?
Oh, man. Max, it was kind of a microcosm of what the whole season has been with the Lakers. So they're 21-6 before AD goes down the first time. And the way that I look at it is this: the way this season went with the injuries, with the absences, with the lack of cohesion, it was almost like a tax for going all the way through the bubble. Right. And, you know, they managed to complete that run with a title. But you heard it in Anthony Davis's preseason interview. His body wasn't ready to have the turnaround. And LeBron, being the superhuman, just ridiculous experience of going to the finals every year, he found a way to get his body to that level up to the point where Solomon Hill went into the leg. But that was really – and even if you fast forward that to game six, Max, like that was what happened this season, right? It was LeBron and AD – not being able to both be healthy, and that is obviously what cost them the series.
Talking to Mike Trudell, Lakers sideline reporter on the Goodyear Hotline here on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio. Mike, Kendrick Perkins and Stephen A. today on First Take, a lot of talk about how AD, they're, you know, and when you hear these guys say that, it means they're hearing this from multiple places, that AD is not committed enough to his conditioning and strength and everything and diet, et cetera, the way like Kobe was or the way LeBron is. And while part of it is just your DNA, the way you're put together, your connective tissue and stuff, part of it may be that. People are looking at him that way. Have you heard anything along those lines?
No. I mean, so AD actually talked to Max about what his offseason routine is after the game last night. And so he typically takes a month to try to get the body to recover and heal. Then he does 6 weeks of strength training. And then he gets back into the basketball to integrate that once the season starts. And he actually finished the last, really going back, I was looking at some of the game logs and going to the when New Orleans was in the postseason, he finished healthy the last 4 or 5 years. Mm-hmm. He did miss, you know, 4 or 5, sometimes 10 games a year with a minor injuries that he tends to get. But he was, for the most part, healthy during those runs, and particularly last season. I think this season he was thrown off from the jump. And he hadn't had a long playoff run to the finals to kind of recover a different way like LeBron has learned to do. And he wasn't the only guy that started to break down too. Caruso started to break down here at the end. KCP, Kyle Kuzma, wasn't himself. Like, all of that, Max, that's kind of what I alluded to earlier with the tax. But by the way, I did want to give you credit. I always love your if somebody was born in L.A., a Laker fan, and they're 8 months old or 9 months, they didn't get to experience the championship. I mean, it's such a great point, but you as somebody who grew up in New York with the Yankees, like, all that does is make you expect one every year, right?
That's right.
Like, it's not like, you're like, oh,
no,
great.
This is what it is. No, wait, let me just, I want to clear up this misconception. Everyone knows the home team can't win every year. That's never going to happen in any sport. Yankees won 4 out of 5 in my lifetime once, came an out away from winning 5 out of 6. They're the Yankees. The Lakers have three-peated. They're the Lakers. No one is going to win it every year. But this is what a Yankees fan, a Lakers fan, can insist upon. Winning it more than anyone else. Certainly more than your chief rival. So as a Yankees fan, when I look at the Yankees and Brian Cashman, who's an excellent GM, I'm like, hold up. The Red Sox have won 4 in this century. The Yankees have won 1. That's a failure. You got to go. You
got to
get a better GM because there's someone better than you. Lakers... Jeannie Buss has been fantastic. Once she took the handcuffs off, and the reason they were on in the first place is because, you know, her father, the greatest owner ever in the history of American team sports by far, wanted to keep his family together with the team, wanted Jim to run the team. She gave that probably 1 year longer than she ought to have, and you can understand why, being a good family member and sister and daughter. And then she's finally like, you know what, forget this, I got to do it my way. 3 years later, they won a title. Now, you're right. They're not going to – it's not a huge, what happened because they lost it this year. They can get right back and win it next year. But that's what I want to get into with Mike Trudell, Lakers sideline reporter here on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio. That's what I want to get into, Mike. When I look at this Lakers roster, every team ever would make the same deal with the devil the Lakers did. Wait, we have to give up every resource we have to put LeBron and AD together? Fine. And we know we're susceptible to an injury to one of those two because we don't have a deep roster, and we'll figure it out on the fly after that. But now we're at a point where Schroeder, who was a no-show in too many games, especially in Game 5, wants a $100 million extension. Mike, what choice do the Lakers have? Because they can grandfather that in through the cap and then have a guy they can maneuver with, maybe trade and to get some resources. Are the Lakers going to have to bring back Schroeder on a $100 million deal?
I really don't know. So Schroeder, after the game last night, said that he wants to be back, right? So, like, that was the first thing that he said kind of unprompted, that's what his plan is. Obviously, that's going to go to the front office, and they're going to have those conversations. I do think, like, LeBron was asked kind of the same question, Max, just about how do you feel about this group coming in next year? Do you need to add talent like they did last year, where they trade Danny Green? And instead of bringing Dwight Howard back, they sign Marc Gasol, and then Wesley Matthews comes over. The mid-level exception goes to Montrezl Harrell. Like, do you inject that kind of new talent, or do you try to re-sign the guys that you have? And he basically said, look, I trust Rob Pelinka to get it done. They've done a really good job putting the requisite talent around me and AD. This is LeBron speaking, of course. And when you have that base of LeBron and AD, who, Max, you mentioned Lillard earlier. We talk about Jokic. Like, I've said this all along when I come on with you. These guys still impact the court on both sides of the game on both sides of the court. And so you have more margin for error as to building the rest of the guys around that core. And so I don't mean to dodge the question. I honestly don't know about Schroeder. It's just there are a lot of different options that can fit pretty well when you have two guys that can fluctuate between multiple positions and play both sides of the court. That's the point.
A lot of people think, Mike Trudell, Lakers sideline reporter here on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio. Mike, a lot of people think that the championship window is now closed for LeBron and the Lakers. But I don't see it that way at all. I do think it's going to require a little luck. I've always thought once this Nets team gets going, because to make it simple, Lakers got 2 guys, Nets got 3. Or if you want to call Kyrie not quite the same animal as LeBron, KD, AD, Harden, he's 3/4 of it. They got 2 3/4 at least. So I do think that the Nets are favored there. But as we just saw with the Lakers, someone gets hurt, misses a couple games, it can change a series. KD has a catastrophic injury in his past. Harden was hurt this year. So the Lakers, if they get back together, just even brought the same team back and were healthy at this time of year, sure, they could win another championship. Yeah. Where are you on the Lakers championship window?
Oh, no, of course they could. I mean, you made the point about LeBron, too. The only thing that wasn't right physically for him was that ankle once it got hit by Solomon Hill. So he said the rest of his body feels great. And Max, the benefit they have this year that LeBron is not used to, now he's got the full offseason. He doesn't usually get the full offseason.
Right.
Right? He went to the finals 8 straight times. So he's got from now, other than the Toon Squad, which he, of course, referenced he will be playing for in July, like he's got that whole summer. And not only that, he and AD, they have to watch somebody else raise the trophy. And there's nothing I think that can be better for superstars than to have to watch somebody else hold up not just the trophy, but then hold up the Finals MVP trophy. You don't think LeBron was watching Kawhi, right, hold that up a couple years ago? And AD, at that point, everything had gone on in New Orleans. So they'll have that motivation. They have to trust. And you're right, Max. Like, they do have to get the right pieces around them. But they are absolutely going to be a contender. And we will see who, throughout this the rest of this playoff run, can stay healthy. Because that one, like, one injury to any star makes a difference, right? So, like, I think it's curious, but the point you make is fair. And I think that LeBron and AD certainly feel that way.
Mike Trudell, ladies and gentlemen. Mike, always love it when you jump on. Thanks for coming on today. And we will just keep in mind all the 8-month-olds in L.A. right now who've never even been alive.
I have a nine-month-old.
You're 9-month-old. At least your 9-month-old was alive for the last Lakers championship. You know,
yeah,
but like they
and
were
the
all,
Dodgers.
And the they've lived through a low. We're talking about the Lakers now. They've lived through a Lakers championship, but who knows if they even remember? They were only a month old at the time. Mike, it's rough.
Man.
It's rough, and not everyone's as fortunate as your 9-month-old. As I said, 8-month-olds, 7-month-olds have never lived through a Lakers championship. I can't believe what a topsy turvy world we're living in. Mike Trudell, ladies and gentlemen.
Good point.
The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive's Home Insurance. Get your quote at progressive.com today. By the way, it ain't going to get any easier for the Lakers in the sense that, like, DeAndre Ayton's going to be a year better next year. The Warriors are going to be better. It's tough in the NBA. Coming to you live from the Seaport District of Pier 17, brought to you by Chase. Friends, if you're in a job you can't stand or worried your unemployment benefit will be ending, you need to go to mycomputercareer.edu and fill out the free career evaluation form. I've personally spoken with them. Apparently, they're so legit, employers are lining up to hire their graduates. In as little as 4 months, you could start your career in the growing cybersecurity and networking fields. Grants covering up to 53% of the cost are available to those who qualify. It's not rocket science. It's mycomputercareer.edu. Tell them Max sent you.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Check me out on the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80, wherever you get your podcasts. All right, so the Lakers aren't going back-to-back. But there's hope. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Lakers fans, you can still petition the league to change the rules of the playoffs. Make it a best of nine, perhaps. The Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance. And by the way, Suns fans got to feel good. They lucked up a little bit, but all right, take it. Why wouldn't you? When you get lucky, be happy about it. Meantime, DeAndre Ayton's still a baby, and he's already pretty good. Like, in a year or two, who knows what DeAndre Ayton's ceiling is? Chris Paul wants a multi-year deal. He's opting out of his $44.5 million this upcoming season because he wants a multi-year deal, and it looks like he has several more years of elite performance left in him. Devin Booker's just starting to scratch the surface of his prime. That's Suns future looks good. Dallas Mavericks future looks good. Of all the preseason teams I really liked, Lakers and Clippers were going to be powerhouses. We all knew that, and we'll see about the Clippers, and the Lakers ran into the injury. Dallas was my dark horse. They were my sleeper team since the preseason. I was always high on the Suns. Not as high on Utah as others, but Utah has so far played the best basketball consistently in the league, in the entire league. Denver, if they had Jamal Murray, good Lord. And the Warriors are going to be great next year. Never believed in Portland, but, you know, as usual, in the West, you're swimming with sharks. 888-SAY-ESPN, 729-3776, Max Kellerman Show, presented by Progressive Insurance. So where do the Lakers go from here? LeBron and AD already locked up, likely to you hope that they're healthy next year. And if they are, they're going to be powerhouse again. Rob Pelinka and the rest of the front office, they have to retool the roster. A lot of players heading to free agency this summer, including Dennis Schroeder, Alex Caruso, and Andre Drummond. And the thing is, when you're capped out, like when most of your resources go into two top players, and like the Lakers are fortunate because a lot of times, like a team like the Knicks, if they had the chance, let's say, to get like Avery Bradley and someone else like Avery Bradley, they jump at it. And you know what happens? You'd give them max contracts, of course, but they're not quite good enough to be the best player on a championship team. So you ain't going to win a championship. And now you're stuck. At least the Lakers, and then if they get hurt, you're really screwed, right? The Lakers have two max contract guys, but they're really worth the max deals and then some. They're actually MVP caliber players and best player on a championship team caliber players. That's the good news. But the bad news is, you know, Ramona Shelburne was on the show a couple days ago, and what was that, yesterday? And the fact remains, the Lakers, what, are they going to let Schroeder walk? They won't be able to replace him with a guy as good as him because they don't have the cap space. But the way the NBA works, a soft cap, unlike the NFL, like, you must be at or under this number. You cannot be higher under any circumstances. NBA, you can be higher than the cap if the player's already on your team. You grandfather them in, you know? So since Schroeder's already a Laker, you can overpay to retain him. You kind of have to, don't you? And then maybe work out a trade after the fact? Here's LeBron James at the post-game press conference where the Lakers go from here.
The season started so fast after leaving the bubble, obviously. The one thing that bothers me more than anything, we never really got an opportunity to see our full team at full strength, either because of injury or COVID or something going on with our ball club this year. We could never fully get into a rhythm and never really kind of see the full potential of what we're capable of. And, you know, but all in all, you know, I give my hats off to everyone on this team who showed up every day to work, showed up every day to compete, showed up every day to put in the time and effort, and obviously fell short of our goal, but try to do everything we could to be as good as we could be, as great as we could be under the circumstances.
Patrick in Long Beach, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
562, a couple quick points, Max. You know, you kind of touched on it, but history is always written by the victors, the winners. It doesn't matter who you beat on the way that retired, who got hurt. If you win, you win. It doesn't matter. Suns beat us. Suns beat the Lakers. It hurts. But if you remember 4 or 5 years ago when Book dropped 70, we were like, this is the next Kobe. I mean, yep. We thought he was coming on then. And what we saw with this series, he was the man. He
no
took
doubt.
It. He wanted it. He
no doubt.
It up. And then you got
but
maybe this is like.
Yeah, I agree. No. Go ahead. Go ahead. I agree with you. Booker's incredible. Ayton can get a lot better than he is, and he's already pretty good. The Suns' future looks bright. But I can't say, you just have to ignore luck. I'm sorry. I think it depends on the level of the luck, right? So the Houston Rockets against Golden State a couple years ago. Chris Paul couldn't play a game 7. I think that's like a little bit more than, this guy wasn't feeling 100%. He couldn't get on the court. You know, the Warriors, when they beat the Cavs in 2015 for the first title of that era, you know, Kyrie and Kevin Love couldn't get on the court. They literally couldn't play. No, I do factor that in. I had in my own mind have an asterisk for the Warriors championship in 2015. I do. Gabe in Virginia, you're on the Max Kellerman Show.
Hi, Max. So just to confirm, you are a Lakers fan, right?
I am.
All right. So as a Lakers fan, who do you root for in the playoffs now? And you were talking to the CP3 of the franchise or whatever.
Yeah.
You told him since the Knicks are eliminated, you would kind of have to root for Brooklyn. So in your case, do you have to kind of root for the Clippers? And thanks
Hell
for
Hell no.
That.
No. Big difference. Here, I'm glad you brought this up. Big difference. The Clippers, the Lakers are – every team with two teams, every city with two teams has a heritage team. The Yankees are the heritage team. Mets are the clown franchise. The Giants are the heritage team. Jets are the clown franchise. Sometimes the clown franchise can have a good year or two, but the heritage team has the heart of the town. In New York – the heritage franchise, the Knicks, was also the clown franchise. They had a record of futility practically unmatched in sports. And they were the only game in town. The Nets were in Jersey. So the Knicks haven't built up equity with the fans. Not really. They were just the only game in town. Oh, that's different than the Lakers. The Lakers have earned your loyalty in L.A. So you don't root for the Clippers. But the Nets get to New York, the team of Dr. J in the ABA. Last New York team to win a title was the Nets in New York in the ABA with Dr. J, who's from New York. Then they were in Jersey for all those years. They get back to Brooklyn just like that. They have a championship caliber roster. No, no, no. Now that the Lakers are out of it, I don't root for the Clippers. I root for the Nets. Devin Booker was in the zone last night. The zone is brought to you by AutoZone. Get in the zone, AutoZone. Devin Booker kind of spends his life in the zone. And by the way, speaking of the Clippers, are they about to be done too? Even if someone did want to root for the Clippers, for how long? Are you going to root for them for a day now? Remember that time where LA decided to root for the Clippers for 24 hours and then the big opportunity for the Clippers here? But isn't it funny how you don't see it as an opportunity? You see it as like a doomsday, right? Like anyone think like, oh, the Clippers can really do something. Everyone's thinking like, oh, here they go. They're about to blow it. Major League Baseball's on ESPN Radio. We've got two games on our air this weekend. Tomorrow, Astros at Blue Jays, 3 p.m. Eastern. Sunday night baseball, Red Sox at Yankees, 7 p.m. Eastern. On ESPN Radio and the ESPN app, this MLB weekend preview is brought to you by Credit Karma. And by the way, whether you're an Astros fan, a Blue Jays fan, a Red Sox fan, a Yankees fan, I think we can all agree, go Yanks. Boo Red Sox. Anyway, this MLB weekend preview is brought to you by Credit Karma. Visit creditkarma.com/winmoney to open your free account and start winning instant karma. Credit Karma money. Progress starts here. Clip's about a clip.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Also check me out on the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80, wherever you get your podcasts. Big opportunity for the Clippers this weekend. Why does it feel like the opposite of that? 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. This weekend preview is brought to you by the Bank of America Customized Cash Rewards Credit Card. You can earn 3% cash back on online shopping, making the essentials even more rewarding. Look, the Clippers and Mavericks are going to play a game six, and the Clippers' backs are up against the wall. In fact, I think that we should petition Bomber to sign a declaration stating that if the Clippers get bounced in the first freaking round, after not making the conference finals last year, when the Lakers have left the window open for them right now, that he should agree to move the team back to Seattle. Look, Seattle really wants a team. L.A. clearly doesn't care about the Clippers. You might as well. Kawhi's going to have to guard Luka, or try. He's got to accept that, and he's got to ask for it. And Kawhi and Paul George can't come up small. By the way, Rondo either. Playoff Rondo is real. You know I love me some playoff Rondo. He was bad last game. Wasn't good. And Kawhi wasn't good when it mattered and wasn't great for most of the game. Paul George was really good for a while, and then, of course, when it counted most, was not. Hey, Nick Batum, if you have a point-blank shot again with the game on the line, try hitting it next time. But the Clippers are just, you know, you'd think the Lakers are out in the first round. The Clippers are playing a Mavericks team where Porzingis is not functioning at even like 50% of his normal self. You would, you know, the Clippers bring in Rondo to help organize things and lead. You have not only Rondo, but Paul George and Kawhi Leonard, and you have a nice supporting cast around them. I know Ibaka's hurt, but look, not everyone's 100% healthy right now. You got to get out of this first round. And if you don't, what are you doing in L.A.? L.A. has sent the Clippers every message, like, we don't even care about you when you're good. What are you doing there? Paul in Connecticut, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Hey, Max, just had a quick two-part question. I mean, as bad as the Lakers guards are, I mean, why wouldn't they go after a guy like Jamal Crawford that's just some instant offense?
Go ahead. The second question is what?
The quick thing about the boxing. What is Showtime thinking about putting this fight on you know, it's on pay-per-view at 8 o'clock, and then Showtime's running the Duran Hagler Hearn special at the same time, and they're the same networks. What are they thinking?
I don't know what Showtime is thinking. I would say that there are many outlets trying to leverage boxing right now, and they sometimes compete against each other, but with themselves is kind of silly. I'm sure they have a strategy for that. But it's a little far afield of the topic right now. And I don't even remember what it was. That Showtime thing knocked me off kilter, Raj. He did it. He successfully. What was he talking about before then, Raj? Do you remember? Oh, yeah. Why don't the Lakers pick up Jamal Crawford? If you think Jamal Crawford is the answer to the Lakers' problems, I got news for you. No, Jamal Crawford ain't going to be the difference between the Lakers winning or going home. Brian in New Jersey, you're on the Max Kellerman Show.
Hi, Max. A long-time listener, first-time caller. Listen, correct me if I'm wrong, but was it not said that if Chris Paul wasn't healthy, the Lakers would win the series?
If Chris Paul wasn't healthy? Yeah, but that was not assuming that AD wouldn't play at all.
All right, but Chris Paul was 4-for-12 last night. And that's the thing I can't wrap my head around, is the moving of the goalposts. The Suns didn't even need Chris Paul.
Wait, are you saying, but listen, I like the Suns a lot since the preseason. I pointed out repeatedly they went 8-0 in the bubble before they got Chris Paul. That Chris Paul would have a ripple effect not only on DeAndre Ayton, who, curiously, was the biggest question mark on the team. You knew the backcourt would be great. They were. Those pieces seemed to fit together. They did. You knew the forwards who don't need the ball to be effective but can defend and shoot, like Cam Johnson, especially Mikal Bridges, would be excellent and fit well. They were. Obviously, the addition of Jay Crowder is a kind of Swiss Army knife modern player. He fit really well, just as suspected. And DeAndre Ayton did take a step forward. I'm not surprised by the Clippers' success. Sorry, by the Suns' success. If LeBron and AD were healthy, it's pretty obvious that even with a full-strength Chris Paul, Lakers would have won. I don't say that like as a Lakers fan. I'm telling you, that's my honest assessment of it. Now, a year or two from now, as Ayton continues to develop, if Chris Paul can still hang on as an elite player, you might win a championship. And we'll see how far you get this year. Stranger things have happened. The Suns are quite good. 888 say ESPN. Did the Lakers blow it by starting AD?